Morning News is brought to you by Sprague Sports on 32nd Street, Yuma's hunting and shooting headquarters and responsible gun ownership since 1956.
Here's the news in 60 seconds from YumaDailyNews.com. The San Diego Padres 2022 season will be coming to Yuma on local radio. You can get the full schedule and learn more about it at YumaDailyNews.com. The Yuma County Sheriff's Office have been looking for an 81-year-old man. He was last seen sitting by his RV. Read more about the story on YumaDailyNews.com. Arizona Western College will be hosting an open mic night. Last year, we had more than 60 people attend, says English professor David Kern. Learn more about the event, YumaDailyNews.com. The Imperial County Sheriff's Office have been warning the community about telemarketer scam calls. Learn how to be more aware on our website. A gunman in New York has filled a rush hour subway with smoke bombs and shot multiple people. Officials say the gunman wounded 10 people. Read more about the incident, YumaDailyNews.com. Yuma Regional Medical Center has been more relaxed with their visitor guidelines now that COVID-19 ratings have gone down. Read more about it on our website. For the latest local and state stories, go to YumaDailyNews.com. I'm Kendra White.
Every year, Arizonans lose millions of dollars in gift card scams. If you're being harassed or threatened to use a prepaid gift card as a form of payment, don't do it. It's probably a scam. Instead, hang up and report the incident to the Arizona Attorney General's office.
Bill Alexander, Flightline Mazda Mitsubishi, is excited to support Fort Yuma Rotary's PARS Under the Stars Nighttime Golf Tournament. And when you purchase your new or pre-owned vehicle from Bill Alexander, Flightline Mazda Mitsubishi now through April 16th, Bill Alexander Mazda Mitsubishi will purchase 12 golf balls in your name for the Fort Yuma Rotary PARS Under the Stars Brunner Ball Drop. To learn more about Yuma's most exciting night of golf and the Brunner Ball Drop fundraising event, visit Fort Yuma Rotary's PARS Under the Stars website at parsyuma.com. That's parsyuma.com.
Marketing your business can be a challenge. The most effective have found success by placing a greater emphasis on making an emotional connection with current and future customers. People make decisions based on emotion and then use logic to justify their decision. Call it pretzel logic. It only makes sense to them. Using emotional connections are proven to have a longer-lasting impact on your potential customers than any kind of logical approach. Learn how to tap into emotions and bond with your potential customers at YumaAdvertising.com.
Morning. It's time for Chamber Chatter, only the good stuff from the Chamber. I'm Kimberly Kale. I'm the Executive Director of the Yuma County Chamber of Commerce. And as always, we have Russ Clark. Good morning, Russ.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good day today?
Absolutely.
Yeah?
Nice and cool.
I know. I woke up. I was surprised about it this morning.
Me too. I had to put a jacket on again. I'm like, what's going on?
A jacket, really?
I did. I'm kind of
oh,
a baby.
My goodness. I at least did not do that. Of course, I was up a little later than you were this
She's
morning.
Wearing a jacket.
I know. We do have other guests in the studio this morning with us, of course. And this morning we're going to be talking to Dr. Diaz from the Yuma Regional Medical Center about their family medicine residency program.
Hey, good morning. Good morning to the both of you. How are you?
Good. And you've got a sweater on this morning too.
I do. I was a little chilly. It's very confusing this time of year with am I short sleeve or long sleeve? You got to prep.
I know. It's like layers.
Yes.
So anyway, can you tell me more about the residency program? Because sure. I knew we had it because I talked to Michelle Huntington, of course, but
sure.
Want to learn all about it.
Absolutely. So the residency program started in 2013 here at YRMC, where we actually started with a group of only 6 residents.
Right.
That now has expanded to be 24 residents
wow.
and 1 fellow. We have graduated 37 family physicians, all 100% board certified throughout the years that we've had our program open. And very interestingly, we just recruited our 10th class, which is very all in the good feelings for me because that's such a great milestone to hit of continuing to expand and serving our service area. Roughly about 40% of our graduates actually choose Yuma to stay after they graduate. So the access to care now has improved just by starting this residency program more than almost 10 years ago. So it's just really exciting in the things they do here for our community. They're not just here to train. They're also here to serve our community. And they do that through things like offering school physicals, sports physicals. They do. We recently just volunteered our time to do physicals for Special Olympics. So different things in our community that have been given back even mentoring some of our high school students, which maybe Dr. Charles will talk to you about. So great things in the community that they're also giving back besides patient care.
I didn't know it had gone that many so far. I
mean, there have been a lot. Yeah, we started with 6 per year. It's a 3-year program, so it takes a while to start producing the physicians. But if you think about that, each family physician, when they graduate, will touch roughly 250,000 lives. Think of times 37, how many people and just our graduates will help in the United States.
Were the graduates, I mean, they were from all over the country, I know, but yes. any of them from Yuma?
We did. We have one that graduated. I'm a Yuma kid, right? So leading the program, and it was kind of fun to match another Yuma kid, Dr. Tejas.
Have you been here from the beginning of the program?
Yes. I actually helped recruit the first class.
Okay.
I've been the program director since 2015.
That's why you're so familiar. I was on the board when we started this whole nonsense.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. It's been fun.
It was great. It was, and it's doing exactly what we were told and what it was designed to do then.
It's doing a great job. We see thousands of patients every year, and our residents, even through COVID, really stepped up and picked up extra shifts and really helped throughout the hospital. So, you know, looking back from where we came to how it's really helped Yuma, it's been such a great experience.
I actually had to go see one of our orthopedic surgeons because I broke an arm or something.
Yeah.
And there was a resident student.
Sure.
You know, a shadowing.
Yeah.
And you know, of course, the doctor will ask you, you know, permission. Like,
right.
Do you mind if this person? I said, no, I prefer it.
I've absolutely. Always given permission.
Yes.
Always.
Absolutely, but it was. It was great to see that additional help, and of course, it's going to help that doctor, you know, dust off some stuff and make sure that you know that I've got somebody here that's going to be shadowing, training, learning to make sure that you give them the best foot forward. And I'm sure it, like anything in life, if we're teaching, training, we get a little more attention to our basic skills.
Absolutely.
And get a little better care.
Yeah, but I think, so medicine in general, the way that residency work is it's an apprenticeship, right, for 3 years, and it's supervised practice. And the really neat thing is not only do they bring excitement for the attending that's overseeing them, but they can spend a little bit more time with the patient.
Right.
They have recently been trained on the books, you know, more recently than the attending. They may actually ask great questions that teaches everyone in the room something. So I really love having residents around. They keep me on my toes. I know for sure that I have more knowledge just by working with them than I would without.
Well, of course, they're going to be recent grads. So anything new in the industry, and it is an industry, it's a business.
Yes, absolutely.
Is going to be more familiar with them, possibly.
Yes, absolutely.
Than with some of the old docs, you know.
Yeah.
Old school.
But you may actually have seen your a fellow. We have a sports medicine program now in our orthopedic division. So we're training non-surgical orthopedic care as well. Really exciting things that have continued to happen in the program.
So can I want to know what the difference is between a resident and a fellow.
Okay, so a resident is the first part of your training. It's when, like, internal medicine, family medicine, general surgery.
Yep.
But when you go on to specialize, like if you wanted to be a cardiologist or a sports medicine, you know, you want to become a more specialized physician, then that's what you would go on to do your fellowship. All physicians are required to do a residency training of some sort in a specialty of their choice, initially in order to be board certified and also to get their license. To practice.
Do they sleep at all?
We do a pretty good job. Maybe you
we're
should ask
Dr. Charles.
I think we've done a really good job with our wellness program here. They work 80 hours a week with 4 days off a month.
That's,
so I'm not going to sugarcoat their experience.
That's what I understand. They still do that. It's like a fraternity hazing. Almost.
Well, but I think it's the more patients you see, the more comfortable you become. Mm-hmm. And if you see it one time, you see it two times, you see it. You know, it just becomes a repetition at that point. And that's how you gain your confidence in your patient care. So I tell my residents all the time, don't give up an opportunity to talk to that other patient that you might be tired talking to, but talk to them again because you may learn something that will help a patient down the road.
Disciplines, I mean, and I don't remember the exact details, but when we started off with 6, that was a specific discipline or whatever, and it was added to. What is it that we have residency for?
Right now, we have family medicine and sports
family
medicine.
And sports
so
medicine.
We started with groups of 6. Now we're at groups of 8. So we went from initially just the 6 residents up to the 18. Now we're at 24. And then adding sports medicine on top of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
And is that something that's a big need in the community? I mean, in I guess the country?
Yes, actually, you know, the need to have aches and pains and injuries taken care of in a non-surgical manner, when you can keep the orthopedic surgeons busy doing what they love, which is surgery, and letting other people follow up on some of the non-surgical care, is a great compliment. Plus, we can tee people up and start getting people down the path to recovery a little easier, because the access to care is a little bit easier because they're not in the OR. They're in the clinic all the time.
Now, when I was on the board, we had just also approved Epic to come in, you know,
yes.
And that's electronic medical records. But the new guys, that's all they know.
Yep. Yes. I came in, you know, I trained at the University of Kansas, and we added Epic when I was a resident. So that was a few years ago. But yes, when the addition was here, everybody... Now all the medical students come in having used an EHR of some sort.
They'd be lost without it, maybe.
It was very easy. It's actually very convenient. Nobody's looking for a chart anymore. Nobody's chasing down a file. You don't need a file clerk. It's already all done.
Yeah. So yeah. Are we making, are we adding to Epic cell phone type stuff or telemedicine? Is that anything that's going on?
Sure. Yeah. Actually, we now do offer video visits through the MyCare with Epic. You can do it on your phone. You can do it on a laptop. So just need to talk to your provider, and we are starting to ramp that up. But through the pandemic, man, we really had to figure that out quick. So yes, those options are available.
Was it kicked off during the pandemic?
Yeah.
It was.
Right, because we couldn't see patients, and patients were still sick and needing their diabetes checked, right, or needing their, you know, follow-ups with us, but we couldn't really bring them in.
So we could see a doctor in our fuzzy slippers. That's awesome.
Okay, my last two visits have been on my phone. I haven't seen my doctor in a little while.
It's a great access to care
point. I mean, I've
seen
my doctor, don't get me wrong.
I don't want to see
But for routine stuff that my doctor already knows, you know, and that I already know, you know, like for refills, you know, of my regular medication.
You need to take a break.
Easy. Okay, well, Dr. Diaz, we're actually going to switch gears after the break. So thanks so much, Dr. Diaz.
Oh, you're kicking her out? That's
awesome. Dr. Charles. And we will take a break. You're listening to Chamber Chatter on 560 KBLU.
Weather is brought to you by Ed Whitehead's Tire Pros, with four locations to serve all of your tire needs.
This does not feel like April with these chilly temperatures. After today, though, we do warm up. 78 this afternoon, not as cool tonight, low 50s overnight.
Celebrate spring at Banana Republic Factory. With 50 to 70% off everything, discover vibrant dresses, modern suits, and more from $24.99. Find your nearest store or shop online only at Banana Republic Factory.
I'm meteorologist Terry Smith from the Weather Channel.
Plan Z is different than any other diet. Here's how. With Plan Z, you get a homeopathic spray called ZR50 that's designed to relieve the discomforts of dieting. When you go cold turkey off of sugar, artificial sweeteners, and preservatives, your body rebels. Hi, this is Zola from PlanZDiet.com. Most people get a headache when they start a diet. Others start to get the jitters. Some get achy or nauseous. Everybody gets crabby, and the cravings can be overwhelming. ZR50 is designed to keep you on an even keel so you can diet comfortably. Because the ZR50 is homeopathic, it's all natural, it's not a drug, and there are no hormones. Now, let's talk food. Plan Z is a real food diet. That means you won't be eating anything from a box. You're not going to drink magic shakes, none of that. And I promise this to be the best tasting diet ever. Now, I bet you're wondering, when is she going to get to that part where she tells me I have to get on a treadmill for an hour a day or this won't work? Well, I'm not going to tell you that. Just chill, no exercise. And there's more. So go to PlanZDiet.com and read up. Then sign up, PlanZDiet.com.
Living between two countries at the same time comes with a world of possibilities. Whether I'm here in the U.S., I'm always local. I have my work here. Shopping here. Went to school here. And on the weekends, I'm surrounded by thousands of fans cheering our baseball team here. Whether I'm here, only AT&T's network stays AT&T on both sides, so I'm always local.
Use your AT&T plan in Mexico like in the USA. No catches. Two countries, one network. Only with AT&T. Available for U.S. customers. Requires eligible plan. Additional speed, coverage, and other restrictions apply. Visit att.com/onenetwork for details.
And we are back with Chamber Chatter on 560 KBLU. I'm Kimberly Kale, the Executive Director of the Yuma County Chamber of Commerce. And, of course, we have Russ Clark. Good morning, Russ.
Good morning.
Good morning. And we are still talking about the residency program, the Family Medicine Residency Program at YRMC. But we've shifted to talking to one of the residents, Dr. Charles. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, good.
And so you've been here since July.
Yes.
So how are you finding it so far?
Oh, I'm loving it. I'm loving Yuma. I'm loving the program. I'm enjoying it a lot.
She got here in the heat.
I know.
I know.
What's wrong with your timing?
But it was great. It's been great.
And so you chose Yuma. Why?
Yes. I remember when I was looking at different programs in the country, and one thing that kind of drew me to Yuma was the global health program that they have, the track for the residents, and also the amount of community service that they do within the town. And I find that's something that I have such a huge interest in, so it really drew me to apply to this program.
What sort of community service you've been doing?
Well, we had mentioned earlier about the sports physicals mm-hmm, with the mm-hmm. local school, so that's always been nice. I've actually gone to a soccer game with okay. the sports medicine program, and that was really nice to assist on the sidelines. There's also a few programs that are affiliated with the Global Health Track that I'll be participating in. I just recently applied and was accepted to be a part of that track.
Congratulations.
Yes, thank you. So one of the things that will be starting next year, which has been going on for quite some time, is the Mentor Me program. And it's a really great program to kind of get a lot of the students who wouldn't have opportunities to learn about medicine, whether they come from, you know, vulnerable populations, low-income populations, but they get an opportunity to learn about medicine, to hang out with residents, be in the hospital setting, and this gives them the opportunity to apply to medical school or to college.
Who exactly are you mentoring?
High school students.
High school students.
High school
and
students.
So they get an opportunity to kind of get a preview of what it would be like if they decided to do pre-med?
Exactly. And we've actually just recently had four people that came through our program. Three of them just got full-ride scholarships to colleges in the state. So
that's
really
amazing.
Nice. Yeah,
that's
one amazing. Went actually got a full ride to Stanford. So
that's really incredible. Yeah, so I mean, that speaks a lot to the program, doesn't it?
100%.
If I saw you in the hallway of high school, I'd ask you for your hall pass.
I get that a lot.
That's okay. So global medicine, is that what you want to do?
Yes, it's always been an interest of mine since before I like in medical school, because I'm from the Caribbean. My family's from Haiti. So
okay.
At a very young age, I was exposed to doctors that went to Haiti to provide mm-hmm. care. So I just always had an interest in doing that. And being here in Yuma, we have the opportunity to do border health. Mm-hmm. Being so close to the border, that's actually mm-hmm. one of the electives that I'm looking into doing next year.
You might see some Haitians.
Yeah, I have already. Yeah. And so that's been an yeah. interesting and a great experience to see people that come from Haiti that were coming through the border. Yeah. yeah.
And so you have interest in returning to Haiti at some point?
Not full time, no. Okay. No. Just practicing between vulnerable populations, whether stateside or globally.
Now, did you come to Yuma from Haiti, or were you already
no,
in the
No, I'm born and raised in New Jersey. My and parents were born and raised
what
in
exit?
Haiti. What exit? I haven't seen that in a while. Irvington. I can't tell you exit. There's multiple ways to get to it. Yeah, that's a good one.
That's too funny.
Yeah. That's great. So all the way from the East Coast,
yes.
Northeast.
Yes.
And you picked Yuma. Well, yeah. we're happy to have you.
Yes, that's, I'm happy to be here.
That's wonderful. And the deciding factor was the community?
It's the community. And I'm not even sugarcoating. When I went into the website and I read the mission statement about the program, I literally was so excited. I was like, this will be a great fit for me just because of some of the things that they do and they provide to their residents. They have really great attendings that help us while we're being supervised throughout the clinic and in the hospital setting. And again, the community service and the fact that they have global health, it really piqued my interest to come here.
And who mentored you? What got you to be a doctor?
So many different people, honestly. Like my pediatrician when I was younger, just seeing how she was, providing care to vulnerable populations, I was like, huh, mm-hmm. I would do something like that. And just along the way during clinical rotations, just meeting so many different people.
But for somebody that's in a situation of, you know, you don't grow up around doctors, your parents weren't doctors, you didn't have wealth and fame around you all the time, to go say, I want to be a doctor is a big move. How could you make that transition to where I have an opportunity?
Well, similar to the program that we have here, the Mentor Me program, programs like that in the community that I grew up really gave me access to see, oh, this is doable, that I can do it, you know, and having those right mentors at such a young age kind of put that seed into my head, like, oh, let's keep going. And along the way, just more stuff has been added to kind of push me into this direction.
What age? And I'm just curious, as we mentor people, do you go after high school? Do you even try before then to put that seed?
I feel like it starts in middle school, but in high school, you get the opportunity to do a lot of different programs, kind of like what we have here for the high school population.
Amazing. A female doesn't want to be a veterinarian.
Really?
Yeah. I'm talking to a lot of ladies. I don't want to be veterinarians. Love animals. Did you ever want to be a veterinarian?
No.
See, right into medical.
Right, yeah.
Which is about the same track. I mean, it's a lot of work for either one. And how long have you been? The Mentor Me hasn't started yet?
It's yearly, so they just recently wrapped up, I think about a month ago.
If a student wants to say, I'd like to talk to a doc about the possibilities, does that go directly to this organization, or does it go to the school?
It goes directly to the volunteer services.
It does?
Yes, in the hospital.
So they can call volunteer services, or parents can, and say, you know, have a son, daughter that might be interested in the medical field, like to sit down and talk to one of the people that are working 80 hours a week that have no time.
So tell me what an average week is like.
Yeah, it's 80 hours a week, 4 days off in a month. But it's a lot of fun, especially because I know that I'm in a training and environment, and I keep that perspective. So it's just a lot of fun. I love talking to patients. I love learning under these attendings. Mm-hmm. So when I keep that in mind, it just goes by. So
she doesn't look tired.
No.
she looks like she's still got tons of energy.
I just get my sleep. I get my sleep.
This is her day off.
No. I'm actually going back into the clinic right after. Yeah.
Do you spend your time in the hospital or in doctor's offices?
A little bit of both. Like, I just recently got off internal medicine where I was working overnights, and I'm just now starting an outpatient pediatrics rotation, so I'm in a clinic setting.
Something doctors complain a lot about, because I used to listen to doctor complaints, was paperwork. You know, and the amount of work that's behind the scenes. Do you spend a lot of time doing that also? Is that part of your training? Has to be, but is that a lot of your time?
Yeah, I think with family medicine, we're you're kind of used to having to do paperwork, but we have really great staff in our clinic. We have great MAs, we have great nurses, we have great administrative staff that really help streamline that paperwork. So it's a pretty easy process for us.
Did you learn on Epic?
Yeah.
You did. So it was an easy, that had to be a factor. And Epic's just one of the software programs. There's multiple available. I think Epic's one of the top ones.
It's not the only one that's at the top, but everywhere.
It is. It's out there pretty good. But having that knowledge behind you probably helped in the decision.
Helps. Yeah. But I think when you're coming from now at the provider standpoint of using Epic, there was still a lot to learn. So it takes a while to get used to it.
Oh, it's individualized at every hospital still.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
There's still a lot of need and all that comes through every hospital. So, and you can't compare it to Epic now. And I guess I need to talk to one of the old docs. It was pre-Epic and Epic now. Is it streamlining? Is it helping? Is it making doctors more productive, more time with patients versus time, you know, filling out forms?
Yeah, I think one of the things that I like about Epic is the aspect of my care that patients can use a lot to not only access their information, but if they want to communicate to the office staff or to their provider, it's a great tool to have within Epic.
I think my care was a game changer.
Yeah,
I like that.
100%.
I mean, as a patient, not as, you know. You don't use my care?
I do.
Yeah, I think that's I love that.
I realize I hadn't paid my bill. It's on my care.
Yeah. It'll remind you.
Hey, Russ, you need to talk to me.
There we go. It'll remind you. But it was also great, like, during COVID and you were trying to get a vaccine or whatever and you could schedule your vaccine through it. I mean, it was great.
So when you get through the entire process and everything, what specialty, what direction? Family medicine? Is it?
Yeah, so
that's, stay with that.
I'm going to stay with that. There's a few fellowships that you can do within family medicine. Global health being one. Obviously, that's one of my interests. But there's a few others like geriatrics, sports medicine, which we do have here. So I have some time to think about which direction I'm going to go.
See, the money's in plastic surgery, right? You know, go to Hollywood and do that kind of stuff.
So we'll see.
But you're in it to help people.
Yes, 100%. 100%.
I was just going to say, she doesn't seem the type to be in it for the money. I think she's in it for the people.
The people, the community service, just to provide that care.
Yeah. You're running out of time, young lady.
Well, thank you so much for coming in. It's such a great program. I'm so glad it's here in Yuma. And we will be back with Chamber Chatter on 560 KBLU. Thank you.
America's border is in crisis. Last year, 2 million illegal immigrants entered our country, more than the population of Phoenix. And now, the Biden administration is busing illegal immigrants with criminal convictions across America. Who can we trust to secure the border when the politicians keep selling us out? Brandon Judd of the National Border Patrol Council and Justin Harris of the Arizona Police Officers Association trust Jim Lehman for U.S. Senate.
I am so proud, and on behalf of the National Border Patrol Council, to endorse Jim Lehman.
The Arizona Police Officers Association is proud to announce our endorsement of Jim Lehman for the United States Senate.
I am Jim Lehman. Join me. Together, we'll stop the human smugglers, drugs, gangs, and politicians, bring power back to the people of America, and secure our border. I'm Jim Lehman, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Jim Lehman for Senate.
Hi, this is Tony Gwynn Jr., excited to be on 560 KBLU for San Diego Padres baseball. Get the games here and get the complete game schedule at KBLUAM.com.
Padres Baseball on KBLU is brought to you in part by Paradise Casino Sportsbook. There's nowhere better to place your bets than Paradise Casino Sportsbook. So much, so close.
Would you look at the time? It's tax time. You already know H&R Block does taxes, but here's what you may not know when you file with H&R Block, like how you can get expert help in person or virtually. Plus, our tax pros average 10 years of experience. You can even request to work with the same tax pro every year, and your biggest possible refund is always guaranteed. No one offers more ways to help with your taxes than H&R Block. At H&R Block, help is here.
Every year, Arizonans lose millions of dollars in gift card scams. If you're being harassed or threatened to use a prepaid gift card as a form of payment, don't do it. It's probably a scam. Instead, hang up and report the incident to the Arizona Attorney General's office.
And we are back with Chamber Chatter on 560 KBLU, only the good stuff from the Chamber. I'm Kimberly Kale, the Executive Director of the Yuma County Chamber of Commerce. And as always, at the bottom of the hour, I have some announcements coming up for the Chamber. So first of all, we have lots of events coming up, just like we always do. Next Friday, April 22nd, it is too late to register for the Amazing Race. However, it is not too late to register for the after party or the post-race reception, which is going to be at 5:30 p.m. at the Civic Center. It's basically going to be, think of it as an extra mixer in April. So going to be a lot of fun, something very informal. It is also, though, where we're going to announce the winners of the Amazing Race. So be sure to check that out. April 27th, we are going to be having our mixer, and it is going to be a great one down at Rolls and Bowls in San Luis, where there will also be an art walk. So be sure to register for that. May 12th, Good Morning Yuma, we are going to be talking to YRMC again. So you're going to be learning a lot more about what's going on at the hospital. May 25th will be our next member mixer at Dell Outdoor. And then June, of course, another Good Morning Yuma on June 9th and another mixer on June 22nd. So we have a lot coming up. And then also watch your email. If you don't already get our emails, we send out an e-newsletter every Tuesday afternoon. At the bottom of our website in the footer, you'll actually see a place where you can sign up for it. We don't spam you. We literally send our e-newsletter every Tuesday. And then on occasion, we do a Feel Good Friday Friday email, but that is it. We don't send out other emails. But that is where you'll find out everything that's going on at the Chamber, all of our events coming up. And that is also where we will be announcing the days and times for our candidate forums. In June, we will be having two candidate forums. So, Russ, you're going to have to come check it out for that. So, one of them is going to be for the mayoral candidates for the city of Yuma. So, they will be telling
us. How many do we have? We have two.
We just have the two. Yes, we do.
Oh, man. Just put gloves on and put them in a ring.
No. I'm hoping it's a little more civilized than that. Knowing the two candidates, it will be. And so, we'll have that. And then we have a lot more candidates for the three open city council seats.
I've already done a forum for them. It was nine.
Yes, there's nine. And so we will be doing a forum with them as well. So
I grilled them for an hour and a half.
Oh, well, I won't be grilling them for an hour and a half. Although with nine people, it might take an hour and a half, won't it?
Well,
it's a long time.
It is. I didn't get as many questions in as you think.
Yeah.
Because we only gave them 1 minute.
Wow.
But still, by the time you do that, it had to be rapid fire.
I bet. So we're still in the works of finalizing the dates, because of course trying to find time in nine people's schedules is interesting. But
you don't do it, just make the schedule. If they make it, they make it. That's it. This is the time, baby.
So those will be coming up in June, and that'll be in our newsletter. As always, you can find all of this on yumachamber.org. But let's get back to the show. And Russ,
I'm still here.
You're still here, right, as always.
Good.
But I'm grateful for that.
Thank you.
And we are switching gears, and we in the studio now have Paula Rickla from YPG, who has an exciting summer camp program coming up. Good morning, Paula.
Good morning, Kim.
Good morning. So I will admit, I didn't know anything about this summer program until Civil Air Patrol told us about it. So can you tell me what it is, how exactly it works?
Absolutely. It's called our GEMS program, which stands for Gains in the Education of Mathematics and Science.
Okay.
And it's part of our STEM outreach programs that we offer. It falls under the big umbrella under the Department of the Army. They have a program called AEOP.
Paula, get a little closer to the microphone. You speak soft. Just pull.
Okay.
You don't have to move. You can move that. You can move.
All right.
They're mobile.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, gotcha.
Okay. All righty.
I heard you great.
Good stuff. AEOP stands for Army Educational Outreach Program, and it kind of started with they realized there was the need for STEM outreach several years ago.
Mm-hmm.
With the advancement of technology, rapid advancement in technology, that we had to do our part in helping give exposure to younger kids and even young adults, and show them the opportunities that were available to them in some STEM occupations, specifically with the Department of Defense.
But I mean, it's for kids. It's fun. It's camp.
Yes. Yes, it is. We have, there's camps under that AOP for everybody. But specifically today, I think we're talking about GEMS.
Right.
Yes. And that's the one that YPG hosts. It's funded through AEOP and the National Science Teachers Association. And it's for middle schoolers. So if you have an up-and-coming 6th, 7th, or 8th grader, or if they are currently in 5th, 6th, or 7th grade, because I know some people get confused with that, they are eligible to fill out an application for our GEMS camp. And it is in the summer. It's during June, right after school. We find that if we get them really quick, we can keep their attention a little bit better than if it's in the middle of summer. That's more of a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
So our program is, we have 2 1-week sections, and week one is 6th through 9 June.
Okay.
Week two is 13th through 16 June.
Okay.
And all of our labs are taught by our scientists and engineers that actually work out at YPG.
I mean, isn't that incredible, Russ? I mean, when I heard about it, I thought, man, where was this when I was in junior high?
It's not too late for you to go back. You know, maybe.
I do admit, I think some of the adults have a lot of fun doing the labs.
I would think so.
We employ resource teachers.
Okay.
From the community. Mm-hmm. There's an application process for that. So teachers can apply, and we hire them to come help us with to put on the labs for the full 2 weeks.
And the labs will be done at YPG?
Yes, on site at YPG.
But as I recall, there's transportation available.
Yes, there is. This camp is entirely free.
I didn't know you knew how to drive a bus, Paul.
I know. You know what? They even give me the microphone, which is really cool on the first day. I'll apologize to the kids right now. we provide transportation to and from YPG from two different locations. Week one, we pick up in the foothills, I believe, and then week two, we pick up kind of on the mesa over at Gila Vista. And so parents are only responsible to get their kids to the bus and pick them up from the bus.
What time are you? We doing this at 06:30?
No, we try to skip those PT hours. the camp actually starts at 08. So parents have to have their children there to catch the bus by 07:30. Because we need that 30 minutes to get on out there and get everybody ready to have some fun for the day.
I'm listening to all these military times. She's like, you know, you can tell she was. No, I know. Everybody knows what they are. It's just so funny. Yes. The way she says her
Paula
dates.
Paula can translate to civilian.
Can you translate to civilian, please? No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
Anytime.
How long does it last? For the day?
For the day, so they start at 08, and they will leave YPG at 3 p.m.
Well, so she just translated to civilians.
I just did half and half.
Good for you.
I did half and half. And it's Monday through Thursday because we have a condensed, compressed work schedule. So we do Monday through Thursday. We do 10-hour days, but we're not expecting the kids to, you know, keep it going for that full 10 hours.
What are you looking for, Paula? What are you looking to have an impact on?
The program is targeted to give middle schoolers exposure to STEM aspects.
Right.
So we kind of cover, and we try to tie them back into what we do at YPG so they can have that sense of realism. They have a hands-on lab that they do, and then whatever that major concept, whether it be trajectory or ballistics or whatever that lab is specific in.
Yeah. STEM in action. When you say STEM, it's like, I don't do math. Yeah.
Yes. But see, this gives the kids a chance. That gives them exposure. We're not teaching them any full concepts. They're not going to go home and be like, oh, I totally know how to do everything about this specific science concept or how this engineer does all this.
Right.
They're going to be able to tell you that they had fun doing this hands-on lab and they learned a little bit about this,
but they won't
and they want to learn more.
They won't know how to shoot a missile through your window.
I went the other direction. So they're not going to be coming home spouting derivatives that I have no idea what they're talking about. Okay, good.
Nope. They'll just come home and tell you all the fun they had at YPG for the day and a few things that they learned.
Well, I think it's great. A realization that what they're doing is math-based.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Anyway. You know, and it's okay if the kids come out there and they have fun, but they realize they want to do something else. They want to be something that is not STEM.
Absolutely.
That gives them their entire high school career to focus on what they want to do. And that's okay because not everybody wants to do STEM.
Right.
But if you do, this is your chance. You don't have to be involved in STEM to have your student apply. Mm-hmm. It can be anybody. It can be kids that enjoy just reading and you don't know, like bring them. They might find something they're really interested in, and that allows them the time in high school to kind of pursue that a little more.
Paula, what do you do for YPG?
I'm the workforce development manager, and I do STEM outreach.
So you're looking for future employees.
She's starting early in the recruiting.
That's right.
Fifth graders.
Yes.
Get you on the right track
early.
Now.
Uh-oh, I got called out. That's a secret. No, just kidding.
Well, there's opportunities. I think people know there's opportunities. I don't know that they all understand completely the opportunities available
True.
In engineering and
True. And, you know, I do tell people that YPG is kind of like Willy Wonka's chocolate factory. Everybody wants in and everything seems to be a secret. And I know with some of the events that we've had in the last 5 years, it's given a lot of people an opportunity to come out and see some of that stuff.
Oh, with the tourism type stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
That's right.
But this allows the kids to come and spend a lot of time there. Now we're not actually like downrange doing, you know, testing stuff. They're in a, you know, safe area building where we can keep an eye on them because we are not teachers. That's why we employ teachers. So it's just a good time for them.
So the kids are not going to be doing the tests that we get to see on YouTube, apparently.
No, they are not firing mortars, even though I'm sure they all would want to.
I'm sure they all
drive
would.
Tanks
drive tanks.
Driving
tanks. I can totally see them doing that.
I'm sure you're going to be able to show them some equipment they otherwise wouldn't probably get to see.
You know, we do have, well, during COVID, we had to stop doing any of our STEM outreach outside of GEMS, where we actually go to the schools, and we also have STEM Day where we bring high schoolers and sometimes into the middle schooler age, and we bring it out, and we have a huge STEM Day out at YPG, and we have they do get to go out on the test site, but it's in a cooler time of the year. June is very hot, and so we're up against the heat.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're taking the kids outside. We very much limit that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, with that, we do have to take a break. You're listening to Chamber Chatter on 560 KBLU.
Every day greener, sustainable, renewable. To help make Arizona even brighter, APS is working every day to provide you 100% clean energy by 2050. This means adding more renewable energy sources, including the APS Solar Communities Program and innovative battery storage for solar after sunset. Together, all of us can help make every day brighter. For ways APS can help your home and business go green, visit aps.com/brighter.
Brighten up April with Paradise Casino's $45,000 Spring Fever Cash and Rewards Play Giveaway. Spring into winning and earn entries by playing all month long. Don't miss the hourly drawings on April 2nd, 16th, and 30th from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. You could win up to $5,000. So much, so close. Paradise Casino.
Must be 21 and older. Management reserves all rights. Please gamble responsibly. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP 24/7 for problem gambling.
Ed Whitehead's Tire Pros have been serving Arizona for over 20 years. Dune season is here, so ask about specialty tires for your toys. We also do alignments, brakes, oil changes, AC work, inspections, preventive maintenance, and more. Get your tires at any of our four Ed Whitehead's Tire Pros locations. Or use the Tire Finder online at edwhiteheadstirepros.com. Choose the perfect tire and make your appointment today. We also have free pickup and drop-off for your hassle-free experience guaranteed. Ed Whitehead's Tire Pros. Yeah, we got tires for that.
Hey, this is Pastor Tyrone P. Jones, lead pastor of Church for the City, UM, Arizona. I'm thrilled to have the opportunity to invite you to Easter for the City, a citywide Easter gathering hosted by Church for the City at the UMA Civic and Convention Center, Sunday, April 17th at 10 a.m. You heard that right. It's Easter for the City at UMA Civic and Convention Center on Sunday, April 17th at 10 a.m. Everyone is invited. We've also prepared a special Easter experience for your children. Listen, you do not want to miss this opportunity to discover a new beginning, a thriving, healthy community, and to encounter the reality and presence of a risen Savior, Jesus Christ. God bless you.
And we are back with Chamber Chatter on 560 KBLU. I'm Kimberly Kale, the Executive Director of the Yuma County Chamber of Commerce. And Russ, you're still here.
Good morning.
I didn't scare you off yet.
Nope.
And you haven't scared me off yet, so I guess we're good.
I've tried.
I know. That's just who you are, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Well, and this morning we haven't scared Paula off yet either. We have Paula Rickleff from YPG. Of course, being out at YPG, it probably takes a lot to scare you off, huh?
Yes.
Yeah, you're good.
This is a nice break.
Okay.
Feels weird being in town on a work day, though.
Yeah, I bet. Wow. Yeah. I bet. So we were kind of talking during the break a little bit about the different things that the junior high kids will get to do at the camp. So, but everybody else didn't get the advantage of hearing that. So can we kind of talk about what are the different activities labs that they do?
Sure. And sometimes they change a little bit every year, but mm-hmm. we have some that we keep because the kids are, they really love it. We do a bacteria analysis where they go and get to collect bacteria all around.
Yuck.
Get to do their swabs. Yes.
I'm just thinking. I'm like, I probably don't want to know what bacteria is around.
We have some bacteria that's not live, it's dead, and they can do that, but they really like
sure
the mystery one where they get to swab wherever they want. And they think that's just
so
hilarious.
Where do they swab? Where in the past? Where have they?
Well, the bathroom is always a
popular
a good one.
Okay.
Probably one of the cleanest areas. You know, go to the kitchen.
Don't you see? You're going to get grossed out.
They always want to take our phones and do it, which that one is very interesting after it grows. I try to use Clorox wipes on my phone a lot.
I was just going to say, I'd be like Cloroxing my phone every day, I think.
Yes.
Doorknobs.
Inside of your COVID mask after.
Yes. Yeah.
No, that's what I always tell them.
Yeah.
Swab your teeth.
No, my dentist already did that. That's not a good thing.
They get a little scared, and then I think they're thinking, like, did I brush my teeth this morning?
I don't want to know.
No, so we have the bacteria analysis, which is like a two-part lab. We have vehicle acceptance, where that one is actually really close to what we do on a larger scale when they have vehicles that they're testing out to make sure the performance, can it do all of these, the criteria that these vehicles need to do. We do it on a bigger scale, huge wheeled and tracked vehicles. And then they do comparisons and whatnot. So we do it with RC cars, and they get to go through obstacle courses. They get to do speed runs, slope tests, everything on a really small scale.
Yeah.
We tie that back to what we do. We do robotics mm-hmm. with the Lego EV3 mm-hmm. Mindstorms.
Yep.
Yes, and we have a rocket lab. That's always a popular one. They build rockets, and then we go and fire them on Cox Field. And they think that's a really great one.
I'm like, I think that's a really great one. You know, I told you,
they used to sell that stuff at the stores. You know, you can't get that anymore. The Estes rockets type little motors and stuff.
I think we still have them.
I mean, I just can't go into the hobby stores and get them. Can you?
Hobby Lobby.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, right. You can. Mm-hmm.
They used to have it at like Michael's and stuff. I used to do that as a kid.
Yeah.
I had a very, mm-hmm. very boring childhood.
Now they have a huge wide variety of mm-hmm. them. We don't do the super powerful ones because we got things in the air over there.
I was just going to say, you don't want to go too high where you're at.
I know, yes.
Got it. Yeah, understood.
We do a frog dissection, which has nothing to do with what we do at YPG, but one of our resource teachers absolutely loves that teaching that science.
Cutting
She's really into
frogs?
Biology.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, that was like, I did that in eighth grade biology. And
you lose
like,
your photographer, you keep talking like that.
Anna Markshauer, calling you guys out.
Anna, you don't go out for the frog Brandon. Thing? She's, because, got it, okay. she's there for the cars, she says. Awesome.
Yes. We also, sometimes we have done Kano computers. We're not doing that this year. We have a projectile characterization lab where we use small catapults to target, and they have to do the angles and tension and
trebuchets. Yeah. Yes,
I did.
I learned the difference because Peyton, my son, had to build a trebuchet once, not a catapult. So. I got
They'll
an education.
You.
He yeah. Well, he will,
oh,
too.
Yeah. mm-hmm. Yes.
Sorry, keep going.
No, I think we have solar ovens. We're going to do a water
Do they have to cook something in the solar oven?
Yes, we do s'mores. Oh.
Okay, that's what we did. We did s'mores in the solar oven.
Mm-hmm. So they get a little
I think
lesson.
You're looking forward to it, Paula.
I know. I do. I really, I say it's exhausting. I don't know how teachers do it, but I do it for 2 weeks out of the year. And it's so rewarding when the kids have so much fun and to see them smiling and doing all these activities.
And,
that
and they're
planned.
Learning without knowing it.
Mm-hmm. True. Yes.
Like, don't you dare trick me and teach me anything.
Yes, I know. And we have fun. They're having fun. We do an MRE lunch.
Oh, great.
Which is oh, really great.
We teach the science behind the MREs, which is very interesting if you guys have never
watched
the videos. Besides
being like, why can they last 15 years and still be edible?
And how they just go into the chemical analysis of it and everything to try and make everything taste good for they want it to taste like a home cooked meal for the soldier that's been out in the out in the wherever for 2 weeks without a hot meal. That's
so do they taste like a home cooked meal?
Sure. They're pretty good.
If I've been out in the field they've come a long way.
Okay. A lot of calories because they need it. And nutrition, they need it.
I think they've come a long, long way from when they first introduced them.
They don't put cigarettes in
them. They're not bad.
That's
no,
good.
They don't, but they still have toilet paper.
See, necessities right there.
Yep, they're always thinking about the needs of the soldier.
Got it.
Yeah. So, no, but that is very interesting. If I can give you the link and... it's very interesting to look at the science behind it.
I guess so.
I never really thought about it in that aspect until I started researching it.
And they're pretty popular in civilian. You know, you see a lot of Army surplus. People want to buy them, and because for hunting and stuff like that, people get them. So they gotta be somewhat tasty, or the hunters would find something else.
But and they have a great shelf life and
right.
They're,
You can get.
I don't think they're bad. I'm not,
You can get on Amazon and buy them.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, now I'm gonna have to try
not the
one.
Military ones. Nobody should be selling the military ones.
I don't know if they're the same or not. I mean, I imagine the suppliers, whoever they are, would maybe make a civilian version. I have no idea.
I'm sure. I don't know.
Well, now y'all have me curious.
I don't know who makes them, but there's companies that make their own versions MREs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And all I know, they buy them from the same person.
exactly. Yeah.
Like batteries, and they put different wrappers.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, now I'm gonna have to check Amazon and then verify.
Oh no!
Is it really military?
So if somebody wants to sign up, how do they? You know, if I've got a fifth, sixth, or seventh grader, going into sixth, seventh, or eighth next year.
Thank you.
So we can get it. And I'm like, okay, this sounds like a really cool experience for my kid. How do I sign them up? Is there still time?
Yes, the cutoff isn't until midnight of 15 April.
So Friday. Pretty quick.
Friday at midnight, the portal will close.
Okay, our time, midnight Arizona time?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And they will go to the link. It's AEOP. I think it's AEOP. That's terrible that I don't know the link right off the top of my head.
So I even printed it out.
But it's AEOP.
We'll get it.
Yes.
I will admit how I always find it, because I wanted to print something out today so I knew more about it, is I just Googled YPG GEMS, G-E-M-S, and it popped right up. It was the very first thing on the Google search.
If you...
Oh, he's got it up too.
You go.
It's on Amazon. You can buy them all day long. It says U.S. government property right on it.
Uh-oh.
You better check that out, Paula.
Oh, my goodness.
Find out what they're doing.
Somebody call the cops.
Oh, no. we've got Russ on Amazon finding MREs and me Googling the GEMS camp. There we go.
Somebody probably found it at Goodwill, and now they're going to sell it.
Great.
Sometimes that happens with military stuff.
It happens, yep.
I just mean when people retire. That's all. Uh-huh, I didn't mean there was
anything wrong going on.
Okay, got it.
Better clarify that.
I want to make sure I clarify that.
Let's clarify that. And so if I want to sign up and there's no charge, right?
Correct. No charge. Everything is free. It's free to apply. The camp is free.
And how many kids are you taking?
We take 70.
Okay.
Per year. Maybe in the future we can pump that up, but we're not a permanent staffed. We don't have a permanent staff or a STEM staff.
70 sounds That's like a lot to me, actually.
Yes. So a lot of the Army research labs, they're permanently staffed because they have laboratories and whatnot. But since we're not, we're very limited with, I mean, we all have day jobs. And this is just a small, very small portion of it. So
what happens if you get more than 70 applicants? How do you choose?
That's hard.
I bet.
That's hard.
Okay.
I will say, though, that we try to get the older ones in because so they don't age out.
Right.
And so that's taken into consideration if what their age is or what their grade is. And then, you know, I don't know.
It's not random.
It's not random. We look them through.
Right.
The program is designed for underserved, underrepresented communities. So.
Well, perfect. Well, that actually is all the time we have this morning. So definitely Google YPG Gems, G-E-M-S, if you're interested. Deadline is this Friday at midnight. Thanks so much, Paula, for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
You've been listening to Chamber Chatter on 560 KBLU.
The preceding show on 560 KBLU was a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters LLC, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
From the 1 Hour Air Conditioning and Heating Studio, this is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.